Hi, it's Wednesday, December 1st. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I have such a great example on this podcast of what it is to think for yourself. And it happened because of, I guess, two things that came together in the last day or so. One of them is that Donald Trump is starting his own digital media network. It's going to be called Truth Social, and it's going to be a lot like Twitter. And the other is I came across two articles in Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone is certainly a left-leaning, left-anchored publication. Of course, you have to allow for that when you're reading something that is in Rolling Stone. I saw two headlines today. One of them says the following: Rittenhouse continues to bash fraud lawyer Lynn Wood on right-wing media platforms. And the second one is Lynn Wood goes off the deep state deep end, accuses Trump lawyer Sidney Powell of wrongdoing. Okay, so why is the combination of Donald Trump starting a digital media network called Truth Social, why is that connected to, and why is it a great example in conjunction with two Rolling Stone articles? Well, let me start with the Rolling Stone articles. The first one, which is about Kyle Rittenhouse, the young man who was acquitted last week of two murders and one attempted in Wisconsin, that article talks about Kyle Rittenhouse, who ever since he's been interviewed, and it started, I think, with a Tucker Carlson interview that Rittenhouse did post-verdict, Kyle Rittenhouse has been talking about Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood is the attorney who first represented him in the defense of the charges against Rittenhouse for murder. And Lynn Wood was also, as you know, on the post-election Trump legal team, along with Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, and Michael Flynn was also helping out on that, I believe. And this young man is saying that Lynn Wood basically took him for a ride, that he was all about it for himself, that it was about raising money because Lynn Wood and his partner were raising bail money. And they had raised, I think, something like $12 million, and not only for bail, but for the defense of Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse is saying that he could have been out on bail a month sooner, but Lynn Wood and his partner kind of left him rot in jail because they wanted to continue to raise money for their own benefit. Now, I can't know if that's true. I question the wisdom of him continuing to be out there saying this when I think his real focus ought to be bringing suits against the media, the many outlets that defamed him, that called him a murderer, that called him a white supremacist, that said that he was a racist, that said all of these things about him, which not only were proven not to be true at trial, but also are not true around issues unrelated to trial. In fact, post-verdict, in the very first interview, this young man said he supports BLM. Well, you can't exactly be a racist and a white supremacist and support BLM. That's where I think his focus ought to be, beside the fact that it ought to be on his gratitude of being acquitted and getting his life together. Why he's out there bashing Lynn Wood, I don't know. And I don't know the truthfulness or not of what he is alleging about Lynn Wood. Because I will say the following, and I'm making a point here throughout this entire podcast, it's all leading to one inescapable conclusion. But before I get there, I need to build the background. And so what I can say about Lynn Wood is that decades ago, I was practicing law in Pennsylvania, and I had a client that had a legal issue in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had reason to reach out to a Georgia attorney. That attorney happened to be Lynn Wood. And I had a brief but meaningful exchange with him over the merits of the case. And my impression when I walked away from that exchange was that this was a very bright, very ethical attorney. And I have always believed that about him and never had reason to believe anything else. But then again, I had that one brief encounter with him decades ago. Let me fast forward to the post-2020 election. When I saw Lynn Wood on one or two occasions at rallies on behalf of the efforts to find fraud or to bring fraud before the courts in various states following the election, I thought that he seemed a little unhinged. I thought that he seemed as if he had mixed his religious fervor with his legal judgment. And I was a little uncomfortable listening to him. And so then I happened to read an article that he was also in litigation with former partners of his who are alleging that he is an alcoholic and that he called them in the middle of the night, spewing all kinds of profanities as a result of their litigation against him. And so all of that, you know, leaves me in a place where, how in the world do I know what's true? Is he the sharp ethical lawyer I encountered decades ago? Or has something happened to him? And is he this crackpot that certain media outlets are making him out to be? Is he this corrupt person that Kyle Rittenhouse is implying he is? I don't know if any of it's true. I don't know what's true. I only know my own experience from decades ago, and it doesn't tell me anything about the man today. Why belabor so much about Lynn Wood? Well, the answer is that the belaboring about Lynn Wood and the reporting about Lynn Wood goes a long way to making the point that I want to make in this podcast. And again, I'm not there yet, but we're going to get there. The second Rolling Stone article is about Lynn Wood, and it's saying that he's been a little unhinged on Twitter the last few days, both at Rittenhouse, but now, ironically, also at Sidney Powell and at Mike Flynn. And he's calling them corrupt, and he's saying the money they raised for the defense or for the post-election case has been wrongfully used and unaccounted for, and it goes on and on. So again, it's Rolling Stone, right? They've got a left bias, but it's now multiple places. It's Kyle Rittenhouse alleging one thing. It's Lynn Wood's ex-partners saying something else. It's Rolling Stone reporting on his Twitter feed and what he's been saying in the last few days and that it seems a bit unhinged. So what's true? Well, now let's get to Donald Trump's new digital media platform called Truth Social. I do this podcast, Think for Yourself, because it is so imperative that you do just that, that you think for yourself, because there is no way in this world that we're living in right now with AI, with all of the media bias, with the ability to do deep fakes, with the ability to manipulate reality on so many levels from so many directions, there is absolutely no way you can read anything or watch anything or listen to anything and know with absolute certainty that you can take that and run with it and you can promote that as the absolute only truth. You know, it reminds me a little bit of, and I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, but let me put it this way. When I run into people who are religious in a particular religious vein, and there are several of them that espouse that their way is the only way to get to God, right? Assuming you believe in God, their way is the only way. I always bristle at people who say they've got the only way. Nowhere is that more true than with truth, right? Than when discerning what is true from what is not true. You know, when I went to law school, the very first day, I went to law school in California the first time. I went to law school twice, but the first time was in LA. And I remember that the dean came in the first day to talk to our class. We were a summer class. We were going to go straight through, no break, but you would be done in 2 years instead of three. You could get through law school in 2 years. And so I wanted to expedite it. So I went out to that program. And he came in and he said, from this day on, you will never hear cars collide and brakes screech and people scream and ask yourself, oh my God, was anybody hurt? From this day forward, you will hear brakes squeal and cars collide and people scream. And you will ask yourself, how long are the skid marks? Where's the point of impact? Who is at fault? Which, by the way, I thought was a rather cold way to look at an accident. And then he said, and remember, As many witnesses as you will have to that accident is how many versions you will have of what happened. And you know, that's why we have trials and that's why we have rules of evidence, so that we can discern the truth to the best of our ability. So let me go back to what started that explanation. When you have a religion or you have a political point of view and you think your way is the only way, I can't get on that train, because truth is hard to come by and it needs to be scrutinized and it needs to have a bright light shined upon it so that you can get at, to the best of our ability, given that we all come with our own biases and subjectivity, we can as best as possible get to the most of the truth that we can. So here comes Donald Trump with Truth Social. Will it be the absolute truth? No, but it will be a counterpoint, right, to the incredible swing to the left that existing social media and media, mainstream media, has. So that's number one. Number two, with Rolling Stone, if I were left myself politically, I would read Rolling Stone and I would jump on the bandwagon of, yeah, Lin Wood's a bad guy and he's a crook and sure, he's another bad Republican and you can't trust them all. And I would do that. And at the same time, I would have to ignore the fact that I was hearing that at least partially from Kyle Rittenhouse, who, if I'm left, I'm angry at, right? Because he's a racist and he committed murder. Forget the fact that a jury found him innocent. It doesn't matter if you have a political bias. He's still a white racist and a supremacist, and he's guilty of murder because you can't think outside your own box. So I would have to do a few hoops, jump through a few hoops, if I were extremely left, in order to both jump on the bandwagon of Lin Wood is a bad guy that Kyle Rittenhouse is now promoting, but I would also have to disregard that it's Kyle Rittenhouse who's saying it. So a little bit of cognitive dissonance there if I'm politically left, but I'm sure I could make it work if I were an ideologue and I were thinking with blinders on. My point is, there's some truth perhaps in what Kyle Rittenhouse is saying. Maybe four decades after I dealt with Lin Wood in one instance, he's a different man. Maybe things have happened to him. Maybe he's not the highly intelligent, highly ethical man I got to experience four decades ago. And so I have to allow for that, even if it's coming from Rolling Stone. But I also, at the same time, I'm not going to buy into that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist and a racist and guilty of murder, because I watched that trial every minute of every day. I don't get my news from either Fox or MSN. I try to do my best to get the broadest possible lens to look at what's going on in the world. And I know that a jury of his peers acquitted him based upon the evidence. Whether people like to hear that or not, who are politically left, it's nonetheless true, and it's how our system works, and it's why our system works. The point of the podcast is, even if it's called Truth Social or it's called Twitter, I don't care what it's called, you cannot believe your eyes and your ears right now. You have to do a couple of things. Number one, you have to live your life on a very day-by-day, very local level, in a very local mindset. Because what you can control is your own life. What you can control is what you encounter every day. What you can control are your reactions to what you encounter every day. That's number one. Number two, if you feel strongly about any issue and you see a moment when you jumping in can make a difference, then by all means do. I'll give you two examples. The Biden administration recently made a nomination, and the woman was before the Senate Confirmation Committee. She was to be the comptroller, I think, or of finance, of banking. She was a Marxist and a communist, and there was no question about it, but the Biden administration was putting her up for the job anyway. She was going to be in charge of all the nation's banks. And her philosophy, as of recently, she's written extensively, is to eliminate all local banking. She wanted the only bank in the United States to be the Fed, and everyone's accounts would have to be at the Fed. So the Fed would know what you did with every dime, it was insane. Well, enough people called their congressmen and senators, particularly their senators, because of the Senate confirmation hearing, that she was not confirmed. Now he has to put someone else up. There is an example of, if you felt strongly about something and you called your senators, I can tell you they count those calls. They count those faxes. They count those emails. They care what constituency says. They want to get reelected. So even if it's not your state, of course you call your state senators, but where you've got swing senators, for example, like Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, when they're on an opposite party, they're in the Democratic Party, but they're not in the Democratic playbook 100%, you call them too, even though they're not your senator, and you leave a message respectfully on their voicemail system, and you say what you oppose and why, and ask them to do the same. The other example is voting with your wallet. If there are companies that you patronize, whether it's your cell phone company or it's a bank, and they support issues that you are opposed to, get a different cell phone provider. Take your money out of the bank and put it in a different bank. If Bank of America or Citi or Wells Fargo or any of the large banks that are jumping on this one world government ESG score global centralized everything bandwagon, if that's your bank, get your money out and put it in a local bank. You can vote with your wallet. They respond to losing customers, not just banks, any business. So think about where you spend your money. If it infringes on an issue that is of importance to you, you have the power of the purse to do something about it. There are ways that you can stand for what you believe in. I only wanted to, in this podcast, make the point that the truth gets conflated all over the place, both by the manipulation of the technology, but also by political agendas that are driving what you hear and what you see. So don't be gullible and don't be sheep and don't be led around by your nose by people who want you to believe a certain thing, whether it's true or not. The truth will out, as the expression goes, but you've got to look for it a little. You've got to turn over a few rocks. You've got to be willing to do your own homework. And if you do, in your spare time, do that. And if in your prioritization of what you do with the rest of your time, the main part of your time, is live your life on a daily basis and know that all the insanity that's going on around us will eventually straighten itself out, that your job right now and my job right now is to keep our eyes focused on the future, make decisions based on what is in the highest and best interest of ourselves and the people around us and the people we care about, and let the bigger stuff take its course, because it will. I am an optimist, and I have always believed that the light prevails. It will this time also. Thank you for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'll be back here again on maybe Friday, but maybe not. If I can't do Friday's podcast, I'll do one over the weekend to make up for it, probably Sunday. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. And by all means, think for yourself.